As mentioned a few moments ago, the show is partly designed as a 21st anniversary of Ozarks at Large. It was March 1990 when I began producing Ozarks at Large, and the program took on its current magazine approach. For a few years before that, Dave Edmark and James Russell had produced Ozarks at Large on KUAF as a 30-minute interview program with a single interview subject each week. It was Dave, by the way, who gave the show its title. For the past 21 years, we've tried to use as much sound as possible when producing the show, trying to capture what we could with our microphones. So when those of us who produced the show were trying to think of a different way to celebrate the 21st anniversary, we came up with a show centered around some of our favorite sounds, 21 of them. It was difficult to narrow down that list, and some favorites didn't quite make it this time, so we'll save the popping of popcorn at the movie theater for some other program. The first sound on this show is the sound I think first interested me in the possibilities of sound, a sound that resonates with me about 40 years after I first heard it. That metallic sound? It comes from the 1963 movie Jason and the Argonauts. It was the sound effect used when a giant statue comes to life to destroy the legendary adventurers. It may not sound particularly frightening now, but when I was 7 and that bronze statue was slowly coming to life, it was terrifying. I think that sound, coming through the very small speaker on our color TV in our living room in 1970 or 71, generated a lifelong interest in sound for me. I tried imitating it for months afterward, and I can swear it was reused when the Titanic breaks apart in James Cameron's movie decades later. I've never found out what the filmmakers used to create that sound, but I'm just happy they used it. And quickly, another favorite sound of mine, equally hair-raising. That's a lion at feeding time at Turpentine Creek. If you haven't been to the big cat refuge on the outskirts of Eureka Springs at feeding time, you've missed an audio explosion. The lions and tigers huff and puff for their dinner, and if you're especially lucky, they'll sing after their supper. That's a satisfied, just-fed lion bragging at Turpentine Creek in Carroll County.
This is Ozarks at Large.
And when the Ozarks at Large staff sat down and we thought about our 21, not necessarily our 21 favorite, but some of our 21 favorite sounds, Ithi Agnihotri-Madolkar, one of the first sounds she came up with was...
the theme for Ozarks at Large.
She loves the theme.
I agree with her. I love it. It's very happy, very upbeat. And I've told you this before, and I don't know why, but every time I hear it, I think of like the little Snoopy characters doing their little happy dance.
Oh, from Peanuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ithi decided to do something with the theme.
Last May, KUAF News Director Kyle Gellums went to Austin, Texas to attend a friend's wedding. There, he made friends with musician Daryl Sean, who was not only a friend of the bride and groom, but was also performing at the wedding. Kyle came back from Austin and bought Daryl's second album, Body of a Poet, online. He then came across a number on the album that now serves as the Ozarks at Large theme song. The piece is called The First Hurrah. Ozarks at Large spoke with Daryl, who lives in Brooklyn, New York, and is currently touring California, to dig a little deeper and find out a little more about the number.
Well, this piece, it's very interesting that you chose it as your opening music. It's very appropriate because I actually wrote it, with the intention of it being an opening piece. And it's almost always the piece that I play first when I'm playing a concert. And when I wrote it, that's really what I wanted. I wanted something that felt like an opening. It felt it just had that right kind of spirit. It's a launch into something. That was really the point of the entire piece, was a launch into something.
The album Body of a Poet features 10 tracks, and the first hurrah rightly serves as the opening number. Ozarks at Large uses only a minute of this 3-minute, 33-second long piece.
You know, it was really the feeling of kind of a morning feeling, you know, morning time of day, morning, sort of, you know, trying to psych yourself up, trying to get ready for the start of your day. That's really what it was. I know I wanted something upbeat, but also a little bit exploratory. So it was really kind of a feeling, and I knew that I wanted it to be upbeat in tempo and in a major key. And then I just kind of went with the feeling of it. I thought, okay, let's start with something, you know, something that's a little loud, something that'll grab you a little bit and get you going. And it came together quite quickly, actually. As I remember, I wrote the main body of it in just an hour or so, and then sort of finished it up the next day. So it came together very quickly for me, and as soon as I wrote it, I knew it was going to be the right piece. I'd kind of hit what I was aiming for, that it was going to be a good piece to open things up with.
Daryl's two albums are available on iTunes and also on darylshawn.bandcamp.com. Daryl hopes to be in Arkansas in late spring or early summer. He said he'll keep us posted.
Martin Miller sang throughout high school and college and is now part of the vocal group Anacrusis. The group is comprised of a dozen singers who use only their voices to create a song. Martin recently stopped by the studio to talk about a cappella singing.
I think it's just a beautiful sound, and there's a lot of, you can go to all sorts of different corners of the repertoire with it. You can go to classical, Renaissance, you can go jazz, spiritual, you can get a little feisty with pop. it's kind of an unlimited genre, and I think people appreciate that. I guess singing is the most portable instrument, certainly, and that's nice. It's something you can practice anywhere, as anyone who's ever taken a shower knows. It's kind of remarkable being able to add language to music and being able to do all sorts of, you can do so many things that you can do orchestrally with a group of voices as well. You can be polyphonic, homophonic, you can be really adventurous, you can sing pieces from all the eras. I think, you know, music, the history of music began with a cappella singing, with Gregorian chants in the Middle Ages, and it's really exciting to be part of that continuum, I guess. I love it. I can have a really long day and end up with this group of fine people and working on a song and feel totally different at the end of that than I did after my long day. it's a great release, a great outlet, and I hope everyone can find such a good outlet sometime in their week, sometime in their day, to just take a step back and express themselves. I'm glad we can do that, and I hope everyone can.
This is Ozarks at Large, and for much of the show, we're devoting the program to some of our favorite sounds in celebration of the 21st anniversary of Ozarks at Large as a news magazine on KUAF. Many more sounds, including all of Jacqueline Froelich's favorite sounds in one 10-minute sweep, ahead on this edition of Ozarks at Large. This is Ozarks at Large. If you're not a morning person, you may need some help getting started in the morning. For those people, the sound of coffee brewing is a veritable sunrise symphony, and Ithi Agnihotri Madulkar agrees, picking coffee in the morning as one of her favorite sounds.
Some drink it for the flavor, some drink it for the extra caffeine boost in the morning, and some drink it as part of the daily ritual. Whether you call it coffee, cafe, or simply coffee, it still remains an old friend. Cindy Arcega of the Arcega's Coffee Houses favors the Ethiopian blend.
It's got wonderful flavor nuances. It's just poetic coffee. It's got lovely berry flavors and spice flavors. We think of coffee like we do wine. We don't over-roast our coffee. We try to roast it medium because coffee has such great nuances that you burn up if you roast it too dark. And a lot of people think dark roasted coffee is like the best they can get, but they're missing out on a whole lot of stuff when they over-roast their coffee.
Cindy and Carrie Arcega opened their first coffee house in 1992. Since then, they've opened 5 more coffee houses along with the roaster/warehouse. Arcega also runs every Saturday at the Fayetteville Farmers Market during market season. Cindy says, somehow, coffee always seems to bring people together.
I think it connects people to something that's sort of a gift from the earth. It's a really beautiful thing, and it's an energetic thing, but it just is sort of almost a spiritual component to it that makes you see things a little bit differently. Coffee makes you smarter than you really are. And I also think it connects you to other people and your community sitting in a coffee house and drinking your coffee in the morning, and I know people enjoy that part of it.
As I prepare to leave, I see people standing in a line to get some coffee.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And this month marks the 21st anniversary of Ozarks at Large as a radio news magazine on KUAF. And in a sort of celebration, we're playing some of our favorite sounds, 21 of them, during today's program. Sometimes the most unexpected sounds can come from inside your own home. That's the sound of a big wire, I think plumbers call it snake, yes, that was snarking its way through my kitchen and the kitchen drain a couple years ago. Bonus, the sound comes with a life lesson, which is don't put pasta down the garbage disposal because it will expand and clog. When it was a Sunday that we had to call the plumber, and he had to get on top of the house and it sent it right down through the kitchen sink, and it was making this incredible sound. And I ran, I've got software in my iPhone, and I taped it. And I just think it's, because when you hear that, when I first played for that, you had no idea what that was.
I had no idea what it was. I thought maybe like in a car shop or something.
Exactly. I love that sound.
Well, it sounds like it would have been a pretty interesting picture to see all of that.
Actually, visually, it was very boring.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know. Visually, it sounded pretty interesting. Something visually that's always interested me was the image of wild horses running across the plains in movies or in paintings or in things like that. But I also really enjoyed the sound that it makes when their hooves hit the ground.
And it's interesting you brought up horses. When we were first kind of sitting around a table, all of us trying to figure out what sounds we might include in the show, because horses play a role in one of my favorite sounds. I'm kind of fascinated with crowd sounds.
Kind of fascinated.
Okay. I'm just, yes. I will admit to you that I once went to a movie that has a surprise ending. I went a second time because I just wanted to hear what the collective theater noise would be when this ending happened and not be engrossed in the story. I mean, I sat there waiting for the final 10 seconds of this movie just to hear what the people as a group would do.
You really like your sounds.
I do. And for a long time, I've enjoyed this wave of emotion you can hear during a horse race. I told you this was connection. If there's a sort of general buzz beforehand, if you've got a few thousand people together. And at that point, I doubt many people are even discussing the race.
Right.
Most people there are only betting $2 to $10 or whatever. Many don't bet at all. They're there for
just the experience.
The day out with friends. Mm-hmm. Right. But if you're at Oaklawn Park in Hot Springs, one of my favorite places to be, and you hear Terry Wallace, who's the track announcer, and you hear him say they're off, then people start paying attention. and you hear his voice reverberating up these old walls at Oaklawn. It's about as quintessential Arkansas as you can get. And it's a very steady play-by-play as the horses go around the far turn and they're on the far stretch. But as the horses come back into view, mm-hmm. his play-by-play, his voice rises, as does the anticipation of the crowd. No one's getting rich on this race, right?
Right.
No one's going to quit their job because of what they've won on this bet. But people have a stake in there, and it's this sort of momentary thrill, and of course it reaches this crescendo when the horses come, especially if it's a fast race where there's a long shot involved, and everyone's cheering. But my favorite part is, because people, you know, you can hear the people that have won, and you've probably figured out pretty quickly whether your box trifecta helped you pay for dinner that night. But then there's always, almost always, especially if there's a long shot, you'll wait 2 or 3 seconds, and then you'll hear off, it seems to always be in the distance, someone who just realized, oh, it was 135, I just won $185. And I love this sort of wave of emotion. And then within 45 seconds, because you're 20 minutes from the next post time, it goes back to this general conversation.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Today on the program, as we've told you, we are celebrating our 21st anniversary of the show by looking at 21 of our favorite sounds. Up next, from babbling brooks to new electronic devices, Jacqueline Froelich shares 8 of her favorite sounds in this essay.
The sound of the world's largest wind chime. It hangs at Celestial Winds Harmonic Bazaar in South Eureka Springs, built by Renaga Farbiage. Another very different chime is the one emitted at startup by my brand new spanking newly freshly donated to KUAF iMac desktop with a super fast Snow Leopard operating system. So, I'm trying to match the sound of my new Mac turning on. I don't think I can do it. On the Steinway Baby Grand Piano in KUAF studio. So according to Tom Whitehall, he's a writer for the British music blog Music Thing, the famous Mac startup sound was recorded by Jim Reeks and was first installed as a hack on the Apple Quadra 700 launched in 1991. It cost $7,000 for that computer. And if you saw Jurassic Park, you heard Reek's sound multiplied by all the park's Macs rebooting after a massive power outage caused by pterodactyl mayhem. By the way, my piano attempt to copy it was close. The first chord, turns out Reek's played a C major handspread to achieve a blend of heavy bass and high notes. We close with a recording of Mac chimes through the ages. Oh, we're finally on the far edge of spring. Daffodils and crocus have emerged. A green haze is covering the forest and pastures. Everything is starting to bud and peep from ponds. Ha ha ha. I'm from Eureka Springs. I have a home here in Fayetteville, but also live on a 40-acre parcel of land a mile north of Eureka. It's kind of special, all forested. It has caves, a sinkhole that exudes steam in the winter, lots of crystals and artifacts on the ground, a creek, and, of course, several springs. And you probably know, because I've reported on this a bunch, but Eureka has 80 cold water springs. Last year, around this time, I was guided by eco-preservationist Chris Fisher and recorded the sound signatures of 12 wild and urban springs emerging from a forested bluff overhang and along moss-covered ledges and from within caves. That was Harding Spring, Cardinal Spring, Grotto Spring, Oil Spring, Saucer Spring, Sweet Spring, Basin Spring, Magnetic Spring, Mystic Spring, and Johnson Spring. Max, the Labrador Retriever, neighbor dog, catching snacks midair on a spring day. And then another favorite and very satisfying sound is a dog eating supper from a steel bowl. Several years back, I had the great pleasure of traveling on a press junket, courtesy of the Nature Conservancy, to their Tallgrass Prairie Preserve, a 39,000-acre ranch located along the southern edge of the Flint Hills, an hour north of Tulsa. The preserve's a living laboratory where scientists are using fire and bison to restore its biological diversity. Nature Conservancy cowboys are also wrangling the preserve's bison back to their prehistoric roots. Once a year, they round up the herd for a medical checkup and cull out those that contain cow DNA. They were crossbred with cattle back in the early 1900s. And to protect the calves from being crushed moving through the chutes and corrals, they're sequestered for a day in their own little corral. They were not happy about it at all, but I was, and spent a good 15 minutes recording them mewling for their moms.
Oh.
Also on the Pawhuska Prairie are prairie chickens. These are not the hybrid obese White Tyson variety. These are their prehistoric ancestors. This is a lek, or breeding congregation of males, doing their best to attract chicks, or in this case, hens, recorded by Ozarks at Large essayist Joe Neal. Closing, if you think my choice of sounds is ridiculous and you wish to mock me, take this, a mockingbird, recorded by Joe Neal, of course.
The bell at the Washington County Courthouse chimes at the top of the hour to inform residents of the time. Located a little further to the west is the Fayetteville Square, where on some Saturdays, passers-by may hear another ringing bell that signifies hope.
During the Fayetteville Farmers Market, the sound of this bell startles many, but it means well. Richard Clayhouse, volunteer coordinator for the Fayetteville Animal Shelter, who is also the safekeeper of the bell, explains its meaning.
We've had people come over and say, what is that sound? And then we say, that is the sound of a dog being adopted. And we're so thrilled when that happens. Because, you know, when a dog's adopted, that means a life is saved. And that dog's life now is going to go into a new home and enjoy the rest of its life in a forever home.
The Fayetteville Animal Shelter saw a record number of adoptions in 2010. The shelter adopted out 2,084 kittens, puppies, cats, and dogs.
You know, the adoption fee is $60, and that's very minimal fee because they're spay or neutered, they're microchipped, they're dewormed, and they have all their vaccination shots. And our shelter dogs are really, really good dogs. They all pass a 9-point temperament test, so they're good dogs.
The shelter also provides income-based, low-cost spay and neuter for as low as $10. Richard says people can help by fostering or adopting an animal or simply by volunteering.
You're helping the cats and kittens, puppies and dogs have a better life while they're at the shelter. The volunteers do a lot of good things for the shelter, and it's good for the volunteers because, you know, the volunteers get the kisses from the dogs and the licks from the cats and the hugs from the puppies and kittens, and that's a good thing. It makes the heart, you know, feel warm and fuzzy when you're able to help the animals at the shelter. Makes their life a little better while they're at the shelter.
Today's electronics provide all kinds of interesting sounds when they turn on or when you click an icon on the screen. But when it comes to reading, we prefer using an object whose sound is a little more old-fashioned.
Flipping through the pages of a book is an art. It requires patience, respect, and perseverance. Its old-fashioned inky goodness is slowly becoming invisible in the midst of brightly lit screens, in hands, on laps, on tables, just about anywhere. Allison Lowe, children's librarian at the Fayetteville Public Library, turns the pages of a children's book.
It is a news book. I write book reviews for School Library Journal, and so this one came a little while ago, and it is this wonderful tactile experience, and all it is just a series of dots. And the child, what the child does, press here, and they've created two. Now press the yellow dot again, and then rub the one on the left, and you just go through the whole book, and it gives the child the idea that they're the one that's in control.
Allison thinks the physical, tactile experience of a book is invaluable. It's not just the reading and processing that matters, but also what's in the hands.
I think we just get too carried away with the idea of the newest thing and the latest and something that's got an edge to it. And I really do think that there is worth in holding on to what used to be. I really do, because there's a permanence to it. And it's that physical act of turning the pages, I think it makes you more invested. And the idea of just running your finger along a screen or touching a button to make the next page turn over, it's not the same thing. And I just think it's very vital for kids, especially because they are such tactile learners when they're little. It really is important to have that physicality used.
Allison also thinks books are brilliant keepsakes. They remind of a particular time and experience, which can be revisited by reading the book again.
You know, when you first walk in and you see these rows, the sea of picture books, it's just such a happy sight. And I just, the colors and the patterns and the illustrations, I just think it's very important visually. And then you have the auditory of flipping the book, and then just the tactile.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
21 of our favorite sounds. Not the most 21 most favorite necessarily,
no.
But 21 of our favorite
of
sounds
them, yes.
Involved in this 21st anniversary of Ozarks at Large. When we were first deciding sounds, you mm-hmm. picked one that,
yeah.
because we tried to get organic recordings of
right.
everything we included.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one that wasn't that easy for us to get.
Yes. My favorite sound in the entire world, hands down, is the ocean waves. I just love the sound of them crashing against the beach. I don't really have a reason for it. I just have always liked it.
And I remember asking you, why do you like them? And you just kind of looked at me and said,
I just do. It's just very calming to me. And anytime I'm going anywhere that has some sort of a beach, I just get more excited as I get closer. I can be able to smell the salt in the air. And then as soon as I hear them, I'm just very happy. It's my happy place.
But we started working on the show about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
None of us were headed to the coast.
No.
And we were trying to wonder what to do with waves.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remembered.
Yes.
I'm revealing a lot about myself here. I remembered that I had been in Vancouver uh-huh. several years ago. And again with my smartphone.
Yes. Which I'm very thankful for.
I just sat on a dock in the harbor in Vancouver. And then I played these waves for you and said, like this?
And that was perfect. I was like, yes, that's it right there.
So there's one of our favorite sounds. With wooden pipes attached in all directions to its center, a bagpipe can appear like a very intimidating instrument. But, as we found out when a band stopped by our studios earlier this year, when wielded by someone talented enough to play it, the bagpipe can make the most amazing sound.
By the roll. Quick march.
In January, the Ozark Highlanders Bagpipe Band performed in the KUAF Furman Garner Performance Studio. The sound of a bagpipe, a magnificent instrument, makes one feel small and inconsequential in the bigger scheme of things. Playing a bagpipe also is not an easy task. Red Sisson, a member of the Ozark Highlanders, lets us in on a secret. The secret of playing a bagpipe.
It's far more physically demanding than any other musical instrument. It's amazing how just playing them a few minutes can leave you exhausted. And you do, when you watch the pipers play, you'll see that they're doing all kinds of things at once. If you leave them lying around for 2 weeks, you pick them up, there's a good chance they won't play.
But they did play in our studio. And that's what gave us one of our 21 favorite sounds, the sound of a bagpipe.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And in a moment, Writer's Almanac. If you enjoy the sound of Garrison Keillor's voice...
That's coming up next.
Stay tuned. But first, a giveaway.
Yep. And today, what are we giving away, Kyle?
We are giving two pairs of tickets to tonight's performance of 100 Years of Broadway at Walton Arts Center. So don't call and try to win unless you can go tonight.
Because it's only for tonight.
It's tonight. You'll have to. I know you're going to have to rearrange plans, but it's tonight's performance of 100 Years of Broadway. Mm-hmm. On stage at Walton Arts Center. Mm-hmm. Two pairs of tickets. So we'll have two different winners, each winning two tickets.
Yep.
Okay. Most of our show today has been about sounds. So the question today
is in relation to sounds. In 1927, The Jazz Singer was released. That movie was one of the first movies with sound, known as a talkie. So our question today is, which actor starred in that movie?
And the choices are Lon Chaney Sr., Al Jolson, or Rudy Valley. Who was the star of the 1927 feature called The Jazz Singer? Mm-hmm. And this is when those movies were called talkies and silent movies were just called
films?
Movies.
Right.
You didn't have to say silent movies yet because anyway.
That's all there was.
1-800-522-5823. That's 1-800-522-KUAF. We'll put you in the ceramic cow.
Yes, we have a new replacement for the wooden chicken.
Right. And so two winners to tonight's performance of 100 Years of Broadway at Walton Arts Center. And the answer to our question today, again, it was what 1927 feature called by some as the first big blockbuster talkie ever made, the 1927 feature Jazz Singer, who starred in that movie? We asked you, was it Lon Chaney Sr., Al Jolson, or Rudy Valley? And many of you had the right answer. Today's answer is Al Jolson, starred in the 1927 version of The Jazz Singer, of course, a movie that's been remade a couple times, most recently with Neil Diamond. Today's winners will be notified by phone in just a few minutes. All of the correct answers have been put into the ceramic cow. And today's winners each receive two tickets to 100 Years of Broadway. That is at Walton Arts Center through the weekend. If you want to know more about the performance or other showtimes, you can go to waltonartscenter.org. And a congratulations to yesterday's winner, Chris Spencer of Springdale. Chris said he had been a finalist many times, but had never won. So Chris Spencer of Springdale, thanks for listening and congratulations on winning yesterday. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, Boxley Valley, your NPR affiliate for the past 26 years and your source for community events. Remember, you can enter your own community event information at our website, KUAF.com.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great Wednesday. But before we go, if you've been counting, and I'd really be surprised if you had been, but if you've been counting, you've noticed we've only done 20 of our favorite sounds.
Yes.
The 21st is saved for the end of the program.
It is. Earlier this month, we took a trip to Paris, Arkansas to meet up with Bob Cowie. When he isn't ringing one of the bells in his impressive collection, he spends time in his chapel enjoying our final favorite sound, silence.
Thank you, Antoinette.
Thank you, Kyle.
I think that, you know, be still and listen to the Lord. And I think that when you can shut out the world and just open yourself up and be, just be there, it's a great thing. I think it rejuvenates you. It's just something that I love. And I can go in there and sit all by myself, you know. And it's going to be, people can do this. I don't know. You've got to try it and you'll like it. I guess that's the easiest way to put it. Try it and you'll like it. Try to do it every day. You know, sometimes it's short. You know, if you got something to say, Lord, be quick because I've got this to do. You know, I'm just like everybody else. But a lot of times I can just sit there and I think that allows you to dump your head out. And once the head's dumped out, then you're better off. You know, especially a head like mine. Ha!